Quran Sharif, commences with Surah Fatiha. The first surah to be revealed and complete, Surah Fatiha. The four scriptures that were revealed, Torah, Zabur, Injil, and Quran Sharif. The contents is condensed and encapsulated in the Quran Sharif. And whatever is in the Quran Sharif is then again encapsulated in Surah Fatiha. So Surah Fatiha is so important. Every rakat of every namaz, the surah must be recited. Individually, then every person has to recite it. If congregation, then the imam must recite it. If the Surah Fatiha is missed out, the namaz is invalid. So the importance of the surah. So what is the essence of the surah? You know, in this day, the essence of every substance is taken out. If you look at dynamites, bombs, etc., then they took the whole essence out, made it so small. And then they say dynamites come in small packages. It's so small, but it destroys an entire building. So the destructive elements that were contained in so many things, they pull all the elements out, put it together, and then they build a dynamite or a bomb. Then the same thing, the same principle has been used in medication, right? So before, so many things were used for a medication. So the labs, they have went and researched it. What are the medicinal properties? So they searched and they researched the medicinal properties. They pulled them out, and what medication used to be taken over so many days, in so much of quantity, they reduced it so small. Though in the process, they didn't consider the adverse effects. So it's all right, the curative properties, they've seen that. But what will be the adverse effects, they didn't consider that so much. So the same happens in the Quran Sharif. And this entire Quran Sharif, the contents of it is in Surah Fatiha. But then it is interesting to understand what is the message of Surah Fatiha, what is the gist, what is the essence. So one of the names of the Surah Fatiha will tell you what Surah Fatiha is all about. So one of the names of Surah Fatiha is Ta'limul Mas'ala. It teaches you how to petition Allah Ta'ala, how to ask Allah Ta'ala. So this is the whole essence of Surah Fatiha. It teaches you that when you beseeching Allah Ta'ala, you are imploring Him, then what is the procedure? How do you ask Him? So it will teach you then that when you have to ask Allah Ta'ala, then this is the procedure. You start off with praising Him. Now Allah Ta'ala doesn't need our praises. He doesn't need our prayers, nor does He need our prayers. He doesn't need it. But our praising Him and praying to Him is for our own consolation, own comfort. It builds our minds. And that building our mind is to our own comfort. We have the comfort of the mind. We feel ease at mind. We feel relaxed at mind. So really it is to our advantage, not to the advantage or to for Allah Ta'ala to gain anything out of it. It's to our own advantage. That is why we praise Him. So you may ask, alright, how do we gain some support, some consolation by praising Allah Ta'ala? So when you praise Allah Ta'ala, Like you said, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin, right? So, in this praising, one is an acknowledgement, right? One is a belief, and one is a consolation, mental, emotional consolation. So one is an acknowledgement that you acknowledge that Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb of the entire world. When you say Rabb of the world, that means He looks at every creation that He's created. He looks at the interest of the creation and gradually brings it up, develops it to its perfection. Every creation. So He'll consider its well-being, He'll consider its continuity, you will consider how it must sustain itself. You will consider how that thing must take care of itself. So every creation will have some way to look after itself, to develop what it must eat, what it must refrain from. Right? So every creation will have this thing. But in that instinct that Allah has placed into that animal or that creature, all these things will be collected. So now, look at the perfection of the creator, this creation that has been created, as small as an ant, or as huge as an elephant, that thing knows exactly, right, what it must eat, how it must take care of itself, how it must sustain itself, and how it must look after its own community. Everything knows it. When you see the animal, these ants living in communities, you see that. So, ant is just one example, but whichever creation you look, every creation has got the same thing. Same, like we call it the building blocks in that creation, is identical. Whether it's an ant, whether it's an elephant, whether it's a whale, whether it's whatever, but as though the building blocks are about the same. So this again brings you to the masla of Tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The building blocks are the same. You know, just to make us understand building blocks, right? We see this architecture of this masjid, right? We'll see the signature of Ghulam Bhai, architect, right? We look in Mallinson Road, Hilal Masjid, again we see his signature there. Don't we see that? The whole architecture is his. Right? So, by the same token, when we look into the creation, we see the hand of Allah Ta'ala. Like when we see in the architecture, then in that architecture we made out, now this is so and so's work, right? Don't we make it out from something that is quite common in his architecture, we see that. So we see that, we see this is so and so's work. One common trait that is falling right through, right across. So when we see the creation of Allah Ta'ala, as though we see the hand of Allah Ta'ala in every creature. It's the same. Shape may be different, characteristic may be different, the nature may be different, but you see the common trait. Evidence of the creator. Right? So, therefore, the impossibility of evolution, impossible. That here there is a creator, and the sign of the creator is seen, is evident in every creation. So, when you said Alhamdulillah, so that was an acknowledgement. So when that was an acknowledgement, it's a consolation. Alhamdulillah, I have got Allah Ta'ala. No matter what happened, who died and who was born, what destruction, what problems I have, but I have Allah Ta'ala. If He's taking care of me, He's taking care of the entire universe. And He sees to every concept, every aspect of that creation, everything. It may be that some things don't seem to be more palatable for me. But when I look at it from a different perspective, then it is to my benefit, it is to my gain. You ate very good food, right? Very good food you ate. And you had some problem. So you went to a physician, gave you a laxative, and you flushed everything out, right? So now you tell the doctor, you know what I ate? This type of food I ate. I mean, ate at this place here. And that one dish that I ate was about 10,000 rand. Now, in one pull, I'm going to flush 10,000 rand out. That's what you may ask him, you know. That in this one pull, I'm going to flush 10,000 rand out. Do you think it's the right thing what I'm doing? So, the doctor will tell you, if you know how important your health is, then this is the better thing, that everything gets flushed out. So outwardly it seems destruction, but really it's a blessing. Getting that out of the system is not a destruction, it's just destruction, but it's a blessing. So, you may see some things that may not be palatable. You want some money, want some wealth. You know. And then I say, no, I'm not going to give it to you. So you want to know, why is that not better for me? So, you didn't understand Allah Ta'ala as yet. When you didn't understand Allah Ta'ala, therefore you ask this type of questions. You didn't get His ma'rifat, His understanding, you didn't recognize Him yet. So you don't know His power. But now when you keep saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin, every aspect, every system in me. In every human body, there's about 5,000 systems. We just know about the lung, we know about the heart, we know about the little bit, right? Digestive system, 3-4 systems. But there's 5,000 systems that are working in every human body. Right? And the control, the supreme control is Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, heart, work, it works. Stop, it stops. Right? There's a nervous control, right? Right? Allah Ta'ala says, sleep, you will sleep. Allah Ta'ala says, get up, you will get up. So who's controlling this? You sleep, who's controlling that? See that? Are you in control of that? You can't control that. That will come, it'll just come. No, one person was saying, before in the world there was much more sukoon. So much of sukoon. So one padri, one priest saying, I'm feeling worried about my congregation. See why? So before when I would deliver a sermon, you know, I just start in the 5 minutes or so, everybody's heads are down, fast asleep, right? Everybody's fast asleep. Now when I'm talking, everybody's alert. So the audience told the padri, it's a thing to rejoice or it's a thing to be crying about. So no. I'm worried. Before they were so settled, there was so much of peace, I just talk about something, everybody's in a slumber already. Now that means they are so much in an anxiety, heartache, uneasiness, that they don't get sleep. Before, it was so peaceful, and now it's so so uneasy within their minds, it's such a turmoil, that even here, where they're supposed to be getting sleep, they're not sleeping. That means the mind is in such a turmoil, traumatic. So when you said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you make an acknowledgement. Acknowledgement of what? He's the control, He's taking care, He's my cherisher, He's my nourisher, He's doing everything for me. From my foot to my head, everything He's controlling. Whether it's the mental system, whether it's my brains, faculty of understanding, faculty of preserving something, everything He's doing it. He's developing it, He's taking care of it, He's preserving it, He's sustaining it, everything He's sustaining. So when I've got someone like this, is there any need for me to become overwhelmed with anxiety, worry, insecurity, kal ko kya hoga, what's going to happen tomorrow? Is there any need for that? He's going to work it out for me. He's taken and assumed the responsibility. One person came to the masjid. So the Imam Sahib saw the person. So when he saw the person, so he asked him, you know what, what are you doing for a living? So that person, sorry, I'll answer you just now. You just give me a chance. He repeated the namaz. And then he said, yeah, what did you ask? So no, I had one question, now I've got two questions. Before I wanted to know, what were you doing for a living? Now I want to know, what are you doing for a living? Number one. Number two, why did you repeat your namaz? So he says, see, let me answer the second question first. I repeated my namaz because I doubted whether you have iman or not. Allah Ta'ala has taken the responsibility to provide for His entire creation. His creation that doesn't do anything, doesn't do any farming, any shopping, any mauling, any factoring, any industry, nothing they do. But they go on eating and enjoying. See, the whole creation that is at sea, any business they do. But I think in the whole creation of Allah Ta'ala, they seem to be the healthiest. You hear of a hospital there, or any doctor there, any medication, nothing. But they seem to be the healthiest. But yet, they do nothing for a living, absolutely nothing. All they do for a living is eating. Eating and eating and eating, and continuous eating. And there is no shortage of food. You don't hear at any time that there is starvation at sea. Do you ever hear starvation at sea? Drought in the sea? Did you ever hear of that? So Allah is impressing upon us, I am taking care, I am controlled. So this person that repeated the namaz says, you know what? I had doubt in your iman. And I didn't want to delay my namaz, because if you don't have iman, my namaz is not right. My namaz is not right, then I need to repeat my namaz. And if I die before I can accomplish my obligation, then I'll have something outstanding. So I don't want any outstanding problems. How do I get my things settled down? So therefore I repeat my namaz. So when you said Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, it's an acknowledgement. It's a consolation. Allah Pak, He takes care of everything. Now this consolation has to be repeated all the time. See, you say it, and I believe in it as well. I say it and I believe in it. Then don't deliberately look for the contrary arguments. You know, what about evolution? What about this ism here? What about this concept? Hey, don't worry about that. You believe in Allah Ta'ala, it's enough for you. Allah Pak didn't give you the whole responsibility of to find out every problem and how you answer every problem. He didn't give you the responsibility. But in principle, you believe in Him. When you believe in Him, go on, move on. Move on with your life. And if I have to ask you, if someone wants to cross-examine you, right, then will you appreciate it, right? You're in a marriage now, so they want to be in some friendship with you or get into marriage with your family, right? Children, whoever. And they have to cross-examine you, alright, are you of a legitimate product? Wife is legitimate. You're met when you're in a legitimate marriage. So he wants to examine all these things here. Will you allow him doing all this? Is this your own daughter? The DNA is the same. Putting all into all the labs and examination. Why are you going to appreciate all these things here? So just do your work. You got married. You wanted to live in peace. So you carry on. Continue now. Don't look into all these things here. Unnecessary. It doesn't relate to you. Now you look at all these things here. They'll want to look into you as well. And when they look into you, and if there's any discrepancy in you, then you want to look into others. So they got the right to look into you. We are on student here. So after he completed his formal studies, he went to Stellenbosch University. It's some medicine, whatever, tib medicine, whatever he did there. So he came here. I said, how's it this? You know that Stellenbosch University, they've got a machine there. So you must just put there, and they'll tell your lineage, where you came from, Indonesia, Persia, wherever you came, they'll trace everything where you came from. Where your mother came from, and where your father came from, they'll trace the whole thing. So I asked him, how's your lineage? So no, father comes from Java somewhere, Java or Indonesia, and the mother comes from Ireland somewhere. Something like this. So I just asked him in passing, what about the other students there? Do they seem to be excited to find out and to say where they came from? He said, no, they did that and they didn't worry about the results afterwards. They don't talk about the results. So why they don't talk about the results? He said, no. They feel that the father was making a lot of musti in his days. He slept with some Khoza woman this idea, some Zulu woman. The mixture, he was born there. Now, for him to say, you know what, mother is a Khoza, mother is a Zulu, is very embarrassing. So they hide that information. Meanwhile, the father is making mastan with us. So, you do your work and you continue. Your work is, you have identified a Rabb, and you believe that he is most powerful, he is most grateful, he is worthy of all praise, because he did everything. When he did everything, there isn't a thing that he didn't do, then he is worthy of all praise. So you acknowledged him, and in the process of you acknowledging him, you brought about comfort to your mind. So deliberately don't ask these questions. Now, you're going to deliberately ask these questions and say, what is the need of me? Why must I just eat, drink and sleep? That's all. Well, no other work in life. So you'll ask questions that are not related. So leave all those questions, do your work and continue. Now, I must look after wife and children. What else? Well, there's nothing for me in life. I must support them. I must look after them. And I must just enjoy it. So all this unnecessary, sexually, all that type of stories will come to your mind. You're just building up sand castles. So this is what's happening with mankind today. You're building up sand castles and you're thinking you're doing something great. But you are not understanding that you are failing. It's building, not getting anywhere. They talk about the Sheikh Challi, you know. That's what happening to humanity, but they don't realize it. Man, he did some work for someone, so they gave him a dozen of eggs. That's your salary for the day, right? He did some work, so he has. So he gave 1 dozen eggs, now he's thinking, you know, I got this dozen egg, what I will do, I'll put it under one hen. So that thing will hatch into chickens. Hatch into chickens that will become grown up roosters and hens and all that, they'll multiply. When they multiply, they'll sell 100, perhaps I'll get 1, 2 goat and sheep and all that, and they will multiply. When they multiply, I get cows, the whole herd of cows I'll have. Then, I'll have a big farm, you know. And then, the farm, it will grow, I'll grow, it'll multiply so much from a farm, to a business, to an investment, I'll earn so much, I'll have so much, you know. Then, eventually, when I got that wealth of mine, you know, then I will propose for the princess. See, for me, the 1 dozen eggs right to the princess. When I got the princess, then I have a child. So the child will say, you know what, Abba, just give me 10 rands, you know. So I'll say, just shake my head and say, You know how the money came? So anyway, his wife told him, you know what, you know, you bust all the eggs now, all everything is filled up. So what are you going to do for supper? He said, you worried about your eggs. I lost my whole kingdom, my princess, everything I lost out. So that's where we're going. You don't understand this, but exactly, giving it to science unnecessarily, this theory and that concept and whatever. But we don't realize that we're making a chutney of our minds, and we're not getting anywhere. Somebody's worried about politics, somebody's worried about the world, somebody's what's happening here, what's happening there. But we're making a chutney of our mind, and absolutely no direction, no progress. Why? Rather, you know less, you applying your mind in the correct direction, acquiring something. So you see this, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alamin. So I say that acknowledgement is going to bring about a consolation. Now, I got Allah Ta'ala. So in the worst of your moments, you still got Allah Ta'ala. And that person that doesn't have Allah Ta'ala, does he have any support, any pull of support? Absolutely no pill of support. And you, in your darkest moments, you got the strongest pill of support. Who you got? Allah. Allah, Rabbul Alameen, he's taking care of me, he's taking care of the entire creation, he'll take care of me. He brought about this situation, so he'll bring an exit for me as well. So, when you are starting off your dua, when you're starting off with acknowledgement, that acknowledgement builds your confidence. When your confidence is built, you are a very secure person. Mentally, you feel very secure, very strong. You don't feel insecure. You don't feel unconfident of yourself. You feel confident, you feel secure, you feel strong. But you don't have a pillar of support, then you lose confidence, you don't feel strong, you feel depressed. Every small thing can come and smash you down. So that's why I say that praising and praying is to your own benefit. It is not to the benefit of Allah. Allah doesn't gain anything out of it. Gain, you gain. So don't ask these unnecessary questions. What is related to you, ask. What is not related to you is moving on. Well, just move it. Just carry on. See? It's all shaitanic conspiracy to divert your attention, to distract you. Read namaz now. What about this theory? What about that one? What about this thing here? Right? Your mind went in every other direction. But where it's supposed to be. So whose work is this? It is the shaitanic work. That he diverts your attention. Allama Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah says, there's two things that shaitan uses to distract you. One is temptation, So he'll distract you with temptation. And the second thing that he will distract you with is doubts, suspicion, superstitions. Right? Someone who doubts, someone suspicion, someone superstition. Now look at anybody that's going off. It's either doubts, either suspicion, or either superstition. Scientists in all this whole world with doubts and suspicions that were distracted, laid off the path. Why? Their mind, suspicion of this theory, this. They haven't come to an end to it, so they're in the balance, they're in between. Not the right, not the wrong, in between. So they got thrown out of the path. So your way was, when you confess, you accepted that Allah Ta'ala is my Rabb. So then you hold on, then you don't say, no, what about this, what about that, what about what he's doing? Leave what they are doing. If you read that book, whatever studies you did, you just did it to generate an income. So keep it to that point. What was this university or school in charge of? To teach you how to generate an income. Not to teach you Iman. So why did you go and learn Iman from them? Who asked you to learn? Kafir, what he'll teach you? He'll teach you Kufr. He will teach you atheism. He won't guarantee you faith. What he'll guarantee you is how to make money. From 1 rand to 50 rand, that's what he'll guarantee you. But he's not going to teach you Iman. Iman, you will go and reach, you will learn it from its source. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعْدٍ Everything has got a source. So Iman has got a source, and money has got a source. So you went to learn how to make money from them, but leave it at that. You didn't make them responsible, nor did you ask them to teach you faith and Iman. So why do you look at their books? Why do you refer to them? So you said, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alamin. So leave all these doubts, suspicions, superstitions, temptation, leave it out. Don't deliberately engage yourself. Deliberately engaging means you're looking at a book that's beyond your comprehension. Looking at a book, but it's beyond you. Now you can't handle it. Right? You can't handle it now. Now your mind is clouded in doubts. But who brought this? You brought it upon yourself. See, this comparative religion is for that person who is sound in his own Iman, is strong in the Iman. Then he does a comparative study, then it's alright. But if he is not sound in his own faith and is studying Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, right? What's going to happen to his Iman? The little Iman he's got, that's going to get shaken up. And the value of your Ibadat is proportioned to your Iman, what level of Iman you have. The value of your ibadat is in proportion to your faith. What faith you have. According to your faith, that is the value of what you are doing. But your faith is so weak, you're doing so much, but valueless, very small value you're picking up for it. So don't let anything shake your iman. So that person that is sound, very much well grounded in iman, if he's doing that, he's doing it for a sound reason. Why he's doing it? He's doing it because he needs to defend Islam. But provided he can defend, provided he is himself strong. But the person that is in life support, right, machine. He's a life support machine. No strength. Absolutely no strength. I used to do comparative religion. What will happen? He's a life support machine and he wants to take on a wrestler. What will happen? 1-2 kicks will finish him up. So you take something that you can manage. You can't manage it, say you can't manage it. You can't understand, you can't take a thing. So you don't pretend to be what you are not. So this is what the secular education is doing to you. Right? It's saying, no, what about this? What about this? What about this? And then it clouds your mind with doubts. Either with doubts, either with suspicions, either it's engaging you in the thinking of other people, your amal is getting left out, your iman is getting all corroded, everything is getting upsetting to you in yourself. So that's why you said, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alamin. So you started off this whole thing, acknowledging Allah Ta'ala, right? And then you say to Allah Ta'ala, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. We ask you alone. You alone we ask. Because you see it within yourself, that Allah Ta'ala makes it happen, right? You put the procedures in place, but who makes things happen? You can sow the seed, But to spring the thing, to sprout the thing, to make it into a tree, and for that thing to produce a fruit, is that your work? It's not your work. You can insert the human seed, but to turn that into a clot, into a lump of flesh, then into a human being, and then to develop the whole thing and let it come out with ease, is that your work? All you can do is open up a shop, right? And you can advertise your product, but to divert the clientele to your shop, is that your work? So you see that Allah Ta'ala makes it work. All you do is put some procedures in place, but to make the thing work is not your business, not your work. So therefore you say, Iyyaka nasta'in, that we ask you alone, you make it work. And when you are the only one that can make things work, so our worship and our ibadat is only for you. Now then, you start off asking Allah Ta'ala. Then you ask, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Now, compare the word of Allah Ta'ala to that which is man-made. The word of Allah Ta'ala is, we ask you for hidayat, right? Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, straight path. Now compare this line against that which is man-made. So we say this every day, morning, evening, the whole day. We're starting off with Surah Fatiha. And what is the gist of Surah Fatiha? Essence of it is asking for hidayat. Right? That's the whole essence. Now what is man-made? Man-made is like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Now compare this against Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. What? Man-made is what? Give us this day our daily bread. And this what is what it says? Guide us, right? So, when you ask your daily bread, you didn't ask for help. You didn't ask for the sanity of your mind. You didn't ask for the peace of your home. You didn't ask for direction in life. Nothing, absolutely nothing. You didn't ask for a good home in the hereafter. You didn't ask for a good family life, that your children must be born all well. Nothing you asked. What? Our daily bread. So, now that is a materialist. The materialist prepared this prayer. What he said? Our daily bread. The one that was in circular school, so he thought of making up a prayer. When he made up the prayer, our daily bread. Way in figure is our bread. So when we went into circular, then our main figure became our daily bread. So yeah, a bo usiyar che. Why? Because we can earn so much of money. It's a money making machine, so it's very usiyar. Where it came from? Give us this day our daily bread. That thing was sunken into you. From the early days of school, it was sunken into you. It was sunken into you. So you measure a person according to how much he can make. If you can't make, doesn't know anything. If you can make, then he's usiyar. And if he can't make, then he's stupid. So, now, the importance of hidayat. See now, understand hidayat, right? Hidayat is something that takes you to the right goal. Right goal in the shortest time with safety. What hidayat means? Takes you to the right goal in the shortest time with absolute safety. So that's hidayat. So I ask you, is this applicable only to the world, or it applicable to the world and the hereafter? Is it applicable only to your family life, or to every perspective, every aspect of life? It's applicable to every aspect of life. Whether you're going to an investment, whether you're going to a business, whether you're going to a meeting, whether you're going to a business, whatever you're going into, whether you're going into a marriage, Allah guide us. I need to go to the right goal. Because the girl looks rupari, but can she make things for me? Can she make out things for me? Will she bring about prosperity in my life? She looks very nice. But what about bring prosperity? So who will know that? Allah Pak will know that. When Allah Pak will know that, then He will guide you to that which is best. When provided you ask Him. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. So this same dua is applicable to this life, applicable to the hereafter, applicable to your youth, applicable to your old age, applicable at the time that you were born, applicable at the time of death. At every phase of your life is applicable. Now see the comprehensive nature. That's Allah Ta'ala's. And this is man-made. Petu ka dua, kya? Petu ka dua. Fatty's dua. So the fatty then made it into a patty. See that this is a fattish dua, and this is the dua of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala taught you this dua. So we need to get our minds right. See, we schooled in this type of institutes, our mind becomes polluted. It's only pay to. So ihdina sirat al mustaqim. Now, when we ask for hidayat, we ask for some guidance. We ask guidance, right? So then, Allah Pak revealed another surah. Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. In that first line, he answered everything. First, he cleared all your minds. Your whole mind he cleared up. And he says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This book here has got no doubt. Show me one book in this whole human history that can claim, you know, in the first sentence, open sentence, by there is absolutely no doubt. Right? Anybody can write that book. Evanstein or whoever can write that book. But can he make this type of a claim that there is absolutely no doubt in this? In other words, there is no doubt in this being a revelation of Allah Ta'ala. What? Doubt in what? Doubt in it being the revelation of Allah Ta'ala. There is absolutely no doubt. So that statement can only come from Allah Ta'ala himself. Nobody can make that statement. No matter what a composition, I remember when we were in school, so the teacher that was teaching us composition, you know, he said, you know, anybody can write a paper, I can find a flaw in him. He can't deserve 100%. Yeah, I can give maybe 80%, max 90%, but beyond that, there'll be some discrepancy in him. So, the wording where there is no discrepancy and deficiency is the word of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, Allah, when we make this dua, you know, for protection, أَوْزُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَامَّاتِ. The word, the perfect words of Allah Ta'ala. I'm seeking protection by the perfect words of Allah Ta'ala. So it's only His words that are absolutely perfect. You can't find a flaw in that. In everything else, every other person's word, you can find a flaw. Look for it, you'll find a flaw. But the word of Allah Ta'ala is absolutely perfect. So therefore, to gain your reassurance, Allah is saying, there's no doubt. So as you open the Quran Sharif, the first thing that you're supposed to be doing is come in with a clear mind. But no preconceived, no prejudice, no filth, no baggages. Coming in with absolute clear mind. See, I say, your amal is in proportion to your faith. What is in your faith? If I ask you, what is in your faith? Faith is to believe in Allah Ta'ala because of Nabi Sallam. On the basis of Nabi Sallam, you believe in. Not on the basis of your intelligence. Not on the basis of your reasoning. No. If you're going to believe in Allah Ta'ala on the basis of your reasoning, today your reasoning takes you one side. Tomorrow your reasoning goes over, then your faith is gone. So not on the basis of your reasoning and intelligence, on the basis of the word of Allah Ta'ala, that because you believe that Nabi Sallam is the true Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, therefore you believe in Allah Ta'ala. Now then everything stops. Your mind will stop working after that. But if you're going to present intellectual arguments for the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, there's going to be a counter-argument. One argument, counter-argument, counter-argument. So to believe in Allah Ta'ala because of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the basis that you believe him to be a true Nabi of Allah, that's Iman. To believe in any element of faith on the basis of the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has brought this to us. Anything. Whether it's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether it's Allah Ta'ala, whether it is the Anbiya, whether it is the Malaika, whether it is the Day of Qiyamah, whether it is Taqdeer, whether it is Jannat, whether it is Jahannam. See? So, Iman requires that you believe in these things here. You believe it not because of your perceiving it. You can't perceive it. Can you perceive Jannat, Jahannam, with any of your senses? Can you perceive? Is it something that it's absolute logical? Right? 2 and 2 is 4, right? That's absolutely logical, right? It's clear, absolute. It's obvious. 2 and 2 is 4, that's obvious. So faith is not something that's absolutely obvious, right? And it's not founded upon your intellectual arguments. On the basis that Nabi Sallam had brought it, therefore you are believing it. That's called faith. That's called Iman. So in this first line, as you started with the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala starts off now. First, come in, you come in the path of hidayat. You want guidance, right? When you want guidance, then the first thing that you need to understand is come with a clear mind. Come without a preconceived mind. Come without any prejudice. Come without any baggage. Come with absolute clear mind. Then in the same line, same breath, Hudan lil muttaqin. It's a book, guidance upon guidance. It is loaded with guidance. It's filled with guidance. But Hudan, it's an absolute guide. Hudan is Masdar. What is showing here? It's absolute guidance. There is no possibility of you being misguided with the Quran. Na'uzu billah. It's guidance through and through. Yes, if there is a doubt, the doubt is in your mind. The doubt comes because of either one of two facts, right? Either of your own mental deficiency, right? You are deficient mentally, or because of you misconstruing the fact. So the doubt rate comes either because of you misconstruing, or either it is your mental disability. You are disabled, or you are misconstruing, one of the two. So the doubt, there's no doubt in the Quran Sharif, there's a doubt within yourself. Person has got yellow fever, right? He sees things yellow. Now, is it because of the yellow color that he sees yellow, or because of a deficiency within him? So you seeing the doubt, you seeing it, is because of your deficiency, not because of that color. Hudan lil muttaqin. Second thing that the Quran Sharif is telling you here, by look, this is the book of Hidayat, right? So you'll find Hidayat in this. You won't find science in this. We're not guaranteeing you geography, science, history, biology. We're not guaranteeing you. So if you're looking for science here, then you're looking at the wrong place. You're looking for history here, it's the wrong place. You're looking for biology, it's the wrong place. Here we are guaranteeing, what we are guaranteeing? We're guaranteeing Hidayat. Nothing else. We're saying that this is Hidayat. Someone looks at it with this frame of mind, he will definitely find Hidayat. See. Hudan lil muttaqin. Now the question comes up, that Hudan lil muttaqin, a guidance for the righteous. Right. So, the normal person will ask, alright, what about the person that is misguided? Is this Quran a guidance for him as well? Or is it only for those that are muttaqi? Guidance for the muttaqi, right? So someone is asking now, what about the person that is not muttaqi? Is it a guidance for him? So it's your misunderstanding, your inability to understand the Arabic language. What it means, that, see, you go to a university, right? So you see the different type of courses that they offer. One is business management, and they teach you law, they teach you perhaps architecture, they teach you medicine, right? So, that you want to learn law now, they'll show you this is a law, this is the syllabus that is set out for law students. What? This is a syllabus that is set out for law students. They'll decide the syllabus for law, right? A guide for lawyers, right? Like, what they like? A guide for lawyers. What do you mean? A guide for those that will become lawyers, right? A guide for those who wish to become lawyers. It doesn't mean it's a guide for those that are already qualified in law. What it means? A guide for those that wish to pursue the course of law. So same, the Quran Sharif is a guide for those who wish to pursue the path of taqwa. Aapko ishkal ki baat hai. It's very daunting now. See that hudal lil muttaqin. So that is why the tafsir has to be learned under someone. The self-study and all that is why it doesn't work. Putting your 2 cents into tafsir, making the whole Quran Sharif yourself, doesn't work. You just muddle your mind, mess up your mind. Hudal lil muttaqin, right? Now after this, the Quran Sharif talks about the story of Adam al-Islam and Iblis, right? So I showed you about what the Quran Sharif is offering. It's offering Hidayat, right? And after that, what the Quran Sharif is showing? The Quran Sharif is showing the story of Iblis and Adam al-Islam, right? Now when he's showing the story of Iblis and Adam al-Islam, then Allah Ta'ala is bringing out some pertinent points, some pertinent lessons he's teaching you. So what is the lesson that he's teaching you? It's all, you heard the story of Adam and Iblis, but what are the lessons that Allah is teaching you? One lesson Allah is teaching you is this, Aneenul Muznibin Khairum Min Tasbihil Mudillin, right? Aneenul Muzdibin Khairum Min Tasbihil Mudillin, right? When you get into worship, right, ibadat and service of Allah Ta'ala, then you build up, sometimes you build up a certain type of pride within you, comes up, I'm doing this, and so much tasbih, Quran Sharif, zikr. So you feel that you've achieved something. You become a little bit proud of yourself. Right? So you are engaging in ibadat, but proudly. You may say proudly South Africa is alright. But it's cruelty to, you don't get anything out of it. So you can say proud for getting nothing is alright. Right? Proud for being nothing, getting nothing is alright. Right? But now you're doing a little bit, and with that little that you are getting, doing, you're proud about it. Not realizing, but that's not of your own accord. It is the blessings of Allah Ta'ala that you're doing what you are doing. So, aninul muslimin, that sobbing of the sinner, is better than the worship of the proud. See, Mahmud had one slave, right? So, his slave's name is Iyaz. And there was a lot of envy. See, in any government or any institution, if one person becomes the blue-eyed boy, right? So everybody envies him, right? Like he's a blue-eyed. Whatever he says goes, right? So now, Iyaz is like the blue-eyed boy of Mahmud. So there's a lot of envy and a lot of complaints I get. Yeah, he's like this, like this. So anyway, they kept on talking until they referred those problems to Mahmud the king. You know, this person here is doing something, man. He'll topple your whole cabinet just now. Mahmud initially was just brushing it aside. Now the thing kept on escalating. It's alright, just to appease you, or let's make a, just commission an inquiry for this Iyaz. You are saying that he's like this. So let's see whether what you are saying holds any water. There's any substance what you are saying. So, he goes into seclusion and he's planning, he's conspiring against you. You'll be surprised, one morning you'll get up and you'll be in his place and you'll be in your place. So they kept on filling up his ears. Alright. So according to that, someone, now how today, you know, spy with someone, you have cameras, tapes and all that, to see now what's happening. So as he's gone into that room of his, into seclusion, so that's something, whether cameras or tapes or whatever, but they put everything in strategic points to see what this person is doing in those moments of seclusion. So now, when he left the room, they opened it quietly after he's gone to check what he's been doing in seclusion, what he's been doing. So in those moments of seclusion, what he'd been doing, he took out his royal attire. You know, royal attire, he wears a type of clothing and whatever, shoes, clothing. And he wore the clothing that he came into the palace. Shirt is all torn, trousers are all half patched up, shoes is broken down, right? Topi ka koi tikana nahi, hair is disheveled, sandy look, you know, dusty is coming in. So, when he went into the seclusion, he came into that look that he had entered the castle. Same appearance, same clothing, dust on himself, disheveled hair, broken shoes, the same thing. And then he's addressing himself, saying, see, Iyaz, this is what you are. This is what you are. Broken shoes, no proper shirt, no proper trouser, no proper hair, nothing to comb your hair, nothing to cover your feet, right? This is what you wear. And all what you see on you, the garb that you see, the beauty that you see, the excellence that you see, is the bounty of Mahmud. So you don't ever attribute it to yourself. You dare attribute this to yourself, it's not your own achievement. It is all the blessings of Mahmud for which you are what you are now today. So you don't need to take the credit for this. You need to pass all the credit to Mahmud. Now this is called gratitude. But this is called appreciation. That in your day of glory, you don't forget what you were. See? In this asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one very important thing is to understand the greatness of Allah Ta'ala and to see how insignificant you were. So the easy way is to see what you were originally and what will you be at the end. You were a clot, right? A fluid, dirt, filth, right? At the end, a heap of bones, right? Heap of bones disintegrating. The beginning, fluid. That's your beginning, that's your ending. So understand you were like this and this is what you will end in. So the beauty that you see is just the doing, the handiwork of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it's your intelligence, whether it's the achievement that you got, whether it's the goals, the targets that you've achieved, whatever, it's all the excellence, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. Now, at the height of our glory, we forget all these things here. No, my achievement, my acumen, my hard work, I put everything into it, and I achieved this because of my hard work, I got all these things here. That's why you begin to think. You forget Allah Ta'ala for that moment. So what Iyas did, Iyas showing nothing of mine, all the credit is passed to Mahmud. It's his gift, his bounty. He ushered me into the palace. He has given me this type of honor and this type of respect, this type of reception. So it's not of my own. So you see this, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, right? So this is the first lesson that you learn, is incident of Iblis and Adam alayhi salam. See, Iblis did that ibadat, whatever ibadat he did, and then because of the service that he had rendered to Allah Ta'ala, then he demanded a position, he demanded recognition. Allah, I did so much for you now. Now, what is my position in your sight? And when he is not blessed with that position, then he rebelled. The rebelling way it started off. It started off at the point where he didn't get that type of recognition that he expected. رَأَيْتَكَ عَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. I served you so much, I did so much for you. And today now, it's a time for awards. At the time of awards, and this is how you treat me. I must bow down for this person here. Don't consider the fact that I bow down for you, I served you for so many thousands of years. Man is born today, and I must bow down to him. Not realizing that that grace to bow down is also from Allah Ta'ala. The very grace that you had, the very blessing that you had to bow down was not of your own. It was Allah Ta'ala that blessed you with that ability to bow down. So you forgot that, so no, it's my achievement. It's my achievement that why wasn't I recognized? So that's the first lesson that you learn in this whole story. Lesson of gratitude. Lesson that means that if you want to go on this path here, then come with a humble gratitude. Not only of humility, a heavy heart of humility, full heart filled with humility, and a heart filled with gratitude. So if you're not going to have that heart of humility and gratitude, you're not going to go. And how you learn that humility is think of your past, what you were. And then Allah took you up. He took you up. He brought you up to where you are now. The honor is not yours, it's his. In a few days you'll find, then you will be dead, you'll be a heap of bones, you're gone again. So what's the need for you to be so proud of yourself? That's the first lesson. The second lesson is to teach us the lesson of Tawbah and the lesson of repentance, right? That every person will slip here and there, right? Kullu bani Adam khata'un, right? Every person will make a mistake. You're going to make a mistake, someone's going to make a bigger mistake, someone's going to make a smaller mistake, but everybody is going to make a mistake. Right? Now, you're not going to cry, you're not going to overdo it when you made a mistake. Made a mistake, yes, you'll be remorseful over it, but you're not going to be overdoing it. Why have I done this? Why have I? No. You explain yourself, you understand that I am Bani Adam, and I am liable to make a mistake. When I'm liable to make a mistake, I need to understand how do I go and correct myself. Not why I made the mistake. Yes, I need to understand how do I correct myself. Don't you see, you buy a car, right? And when you're buying the car, you will ask the dealership, what is the service plan? Don't you ask the dealership? Because the dealership knows, or the manufacturer knows, you're going to drive the car, there's going to be problems. Right? So, when there's going to be problems, then you need to know how to service, how to sustain the motor car. So exactly the same, Allah gave you the car of this body. This body is your vehicle. And this vehicle is going to break down. It's going to break down, Allah gave you a service plan. So this Tawbah, what is it? It is a service plan. So Allah gave you the service plan and free of charge. Free of charge, give you a service plan. Go and learn the service plan. If there is a car that is available, but a very poor service plan, are you prepared to take it? You want something very reliable, service plan, right? Don't you want something very reliable? Nice, secure service plan, then you're prepared to take it. especially if you're covering a longer distance. So you want a proper, secure service plan. So Allah Pak says, this is the longest journey. This is the most crucial journey. So for this crucial journey, I'm giving you a service plan. This is a service plan. When you make a mistake, then the first thing that you're going to be doing after making a mistake is you will confess, you will accept your mistake. See, Adam alayhi salam, in the service plan, the first thing he did when he made a mistake, he confessed, he said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Nabi Sam taught us the dua, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi. That's the first line. You will confess, you will accept, you will acknowledge your mistake. You will not make up for your mistake. You will not cover up. You will not come to your defense. So what is the first plan, first line? First, Allah, I missed it. I'm wrong. I'm guilty. I'm not thinking what must I do. You know, I really messed it up. I'm 100% acknowledging that I've done this. I've made a mistake. You want to acknowledge the mistake, that the roads of progress are open to you. But the moment you justify your wrong, then your roads all get jammed up. Now you can't move. Because you're always right. Now, you go to a dealer, you go to a service plan. I'm right, so what? So what will they tell you? So you're right, so what do you want here? I can correct you if you say that there's a problem. But you say there's no problem, then what do I need to do with your car? So the first step in the whole program is to accept your mistake. I made a mistake. So as though the thing that will cover you on this path is your shame. You know, you made a mistake. So wear, put on the clothing of shame. Put on the clothing of shame and put on the clothing of taqwa. One is shame. You're looking at the magnitude, at the abundance of the favors of Allah Ta'ala and comparing it to the little service that you are doing, and you're feeling ashamed of yourself. Hey, so much, Allah is giving so much. My eating, my drinking, my sleeping, my comfort, my luxury, everything he's doing. And he's only asked for 5 namaz. Hey, Allah, it's not adding up. What I'm doing, what you're giving, it's not adding up. I'm feeling so ashamed, so embarrassed of myself. Now, can that person complain, hey, why I'm not in the 40 grand bracket? I'm really still 10 grand only a month. Can he complain? He'll be flooded with the gifts of Allah. I'm enjoying this, and I'm enjoying this, and I'm enjoying this. And so much I'm enjoying, I don't deserve anything. It's what I'm doing, and what you are doing, in response to what I'm doing, what you are doing, that I'm feeling very totally embarrassed. I'm drowning in embarrassment. So you come ashamed to Allah Ta'ala. And you see how the journey, how smooth the journey becomes. Allah Ta'ala.